I saw somebody walk in the door here. I saw the Granger family. Are they back there? I thought, where is Aaron? Will you guys stand up? First worship leaders, 20 years ago, the very first worship leaders of this church right there. Thank you so much for making the effort to come out here. Wow. What's up next, guys? Am I speaking? That's the deal. Okay, here we go. Hey, by the way, you guys are all saying all kinds of kind things and everything, and I really appreciate that, but I just want to say that really anything that good that you see in me has a lot to do with you. And it has a lot to do with, like, with Mike and Teresa. They've heavily invested in my life and made me a better man, made me a better person all the way around. Just getting to know all of you, all the people that we worked through with and through the years, and you blessed us in so many ways. But really, this is the church. This is not my church. This is God's church. And this is something that he is doing. We're just along for the ride. We're so blessed to know all of you. But the person that I want to throw the biggest shout out to is my wife. Yeah, my wife. Unbelievable. God could not have given me a better person to be on this journey with. So I want to just thank you, babe. It's been awesome. Looking forward to another 20 years of pastoring. I'll be 82, but we're just going to go for it, right? I don't know about that. Let me just share with you. We're going to kind of start at the beginning here. It was 1997. It was November 22nd. It was a Saturday evening, and it was about 6 o'clock, and we met at a little apartment about two blocks away from here. Trisha Cagle, it was at her place, and there was 23 of us that sat in this apartment complex with a church that had no name, because we had no name yet. And I remember I talked about foundations. That was the message. I have a personal journal that I kept all the way up until we became New Break. So from 1997 all the way up to 2009, in that journal I had entered, you know, what did I speak on? How many people showed up? You know, just all the different things that you make note of. But on this particular day, I spoke on hey, just what we're going to do in PB, and I was casting vision as hard as I could for what I felt like God wanted us to do. And I remember that when the service was over, got in the car, and I was driving back home with my family, and these are the thoughts that were going through my mind. How am I ever going to support a family, a wife and three kids, with 23 people, including my wife and kids, in this church? How are we ever going to be able to pull this off? Well, today, we've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. It's called The God I Never Knew. And what would happen is in those ensuing years, I would rely heavily upon the guidance and the direction and the empowerment and the wisdom. Basically, it was me calling out to God, saying, God, I need everything you got and more. And everything that God has is actually the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We call that the Trinity, the divine community. And so today, I'm going to kind of tell you my story a little bit, our story really, about how along the way the Holy Spirit intervened, the God that we never knew. And part of this is the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to persevere. I mean, just to hang in there. I got to tell you, along the way in those 20 years, it got rough. You know, there were times when we didn't know if we were going to make it. There were times when I thought, I mean, it's not like I wasn't warned. I've said this many times, I've told people about this. When we came to Pacific Beach, I was warned by some great church leaders and other people, and they all told me the same thing. They said, do not go to Pacific Beach if you want to start a church and be successful. Not the place to go. They called it the graveyard for pastors. Well, last time I checked, I'm still alive, and we're still here, okay? But I'm here to tell you, it has not been easy. And there has been a lot of perseverance. And really, that's the story of the Christian life. It's not about perfection. If it was about perfection, I would have never made it, and you would never have made it, and wherever God is leading you on your journey today. Man, it is about perseverance. It's about hanging in there. I read some quotes the other day, and I want to share them with you. I thought they were really good. One of the great leaders that when I look back in history, Winston Churchill is a guy who really inspired me. And he said, if you are going through hell, keep going. I felt like I was going through hell sometimes. Really, it was just so difficult times at times. And then here's another one. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Sometimes it just felt like we were just crawling. And there was huge, crushing setbacks at various times. But you just keep on going. This is what the author of Hebrews said in chapter 10, verse 36. He says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you receive what he has promised. On the other side of whatever God has for you is something really awesome, and it's really wonderful, but it's not going to be without a lot of struggle. It's not going to be maybe without some sleepless nights. But the way that you're going to get there is by God, and particularly the guidance of the Holy Spirit through this journey. We've been in the book of Romans. If you have your Bibles or mobile device or whatever, would you just turn there real quickly? Chapter 8 of the book of Romans. And I want to just share a couple of verses. We're actually just going to read to verse 28. And the reason that we've been in this book talking about the Trinity is that in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, there's the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, talks about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, and he weaves Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all the way through this book, so it works so well in talking about how the divine community is involved in our life. So beginning with verse 26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You ever feel weak? Anybody ever feel weak? Isn't it? So the Spirit, when you feel weak, he says the Spirit is there. He helps us in our weakness. And he says, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Man, I've been there before. Like, I didn't know words, man. Just praying. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And this is a very famous verse. Some of you may have memorized this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Those are beautiful, assuring, affirming words for a believer. And so the question is, how does the Holy Spirit work, and how does he help us? And this is how God has helped me in my journey through all this time. So you'll notice that amazing word right there. This is one of the reasons when I went to seminary, I didn't take biblical Greek, because of words like that. I said, if I have to pronounce that word, this is never going to happen. I mean, to me, that you may as well say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It looks like the same to me. But that's a Greek word, and that particular Greek word has some really, really powerful meanings. It has three different meanings, and we're going to share this. So the first thing is, it means that the Holy Spirit takes hold of our weaknesses. So that's part one of that word. That's one of the meanings of that word. Very powerful. The Holy Spirit takes hold of our weaknesses. The second part is together with us. So he takes hold of our weaknesses, and we all have weaknesses, and then he's together with us. The Holy Spirit partners with us, and then this is the part that I almost like the most, instead of us. So when you're feeling weak, the Holy Spirit comes there and says, I'm going to help you. And then he partners, I'm going to partner with you. And then once in a while, he goes, just step aside, I'm going to carry you. And I know about the carrying part. And maybe some of you know about that part too. So, the Holy Spirit takes hold of our weakness. Let's just start right there, by working in all things. So what did that look like for us here? You know, when you try to do something that's bigger than you, when you try to do something and you have some vision for it, and you go, I don't know if I can actually pull this off, very quickly, you run into your weaknesses. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And God, here's the thing. God is calling every single one of you to something that is bigger than you are. It's going to take more than you've got. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, to come and help us in those times of weaknesses. So the first weakness, like, you know, Mike was talking about, I've always been a great vision caster. I'm kind of the big picture guy. I've started a lot of things in my life, and I can go after it, and I get people excited about it. Problem is, I do not have any administration skills whatsoever. So that's the first thing that I ran into. I'm a terrible organizer. I'm like, let's go. And everybody's like, okay, what do we do? And I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that part. And so that's one of the things. My wife has been so amazing. She's great with details. But all along the way, God has brought people who have great administrative skills. And so at some point, I was like, so you're going to have to help us do this. If this church is going to get off the ground, if this church is going to do anything, it's going to be because God uses those kind of people. When it comes to gifting, and God gives all of you wonderful gifts, we talk about this a lot. I don't know what happened. It was like the day that he was giving out gifts for administration, I was absent. I think I might have been out surfing or something. I'm not sure. But I just didn't get that one. But God has compensated for that. He says this, the Spirit doesn't just cheer from the sidelines, plays in the game. It's great to have the Holy Spirit kind of cheering, go, yay! But at some point, you go, I need a little more. Thanks for the encouragement. Thanks for the energy. Thanks for helping me. But every once in a while, we just need a little bit more than just that. So let me tell you about one of those other times. So I told you I don't have good admin skills. Here's another area where I came up short, and it was a weakness, and God helped us. So we were about 3 or 4 years in, and Karen and I were just come back from a retreat. It was a pastor's retreat. We were really pumped up, really excited, and just couldn't wait to get back and, come share our ideas. So Karen says, well, let's stop by the office, and Karen was doing a lot of the admin and working for the church at that time with South Coast. So we stopped by, and we picked up the mail, and we were looking. I saw this one envelope from the bank, and it said, open immediately. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I looked at it, and it said there was $50 in the church account. Now, this is really bad news. And I'm looking, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. We're not going to even be able to have a service next week. We're not going to even be able to. How do we get down to $50? And when I looked, I knew how we got down to $50. It's because I was running stuff financially. And this is before Dave Ramsey and Financial Peace University, and I learned how to do that a little bit better. And so I looked, there's an envelope right next to it, and it was, scribbled in ink from somebody. It looked like they had written a letter to us. I said, oh, okay. So I opened it up quickly, and a check for $5,000 falls out. $5,000? I said, who are these people? And there was a note. It said, we were at your church last week, just passing through, and God just put it on our hearts to give your church $5,000. See, that's a case where the Holy Spirit says, not only am I cheering you on, I'm in the game. And I just want you to know that I'm going to help you see this thing through, even though you're kind of dumb. But I didn't stay dumb, because the first thing that I did is I went out and I got myself a wonderful financial team. And Jim Counter is here, and some of the people that were on that team. And I said, you have got to help me, because I am not good at this. And from that day forward, we never, ever had that kind of a problem again. That's the Spirit, not only cheering us on, but getting involved. And then it says, he works together with me to accomplish his work in our life, whatever the dream is, whatever God has called us to. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. God's called all of us towards good, to do something in this world. That is the grand big idea that he has for every single one of us. And then in Romans 8:27 it says this, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. So if you've ever been praying and you're like dealing with a problem, maybe it's inside of a marriage. And you're like, man, I'm trying to make this marriage work, but this is hard. I don't know, we're struggling. And so you start to pray, and the Holy Spirit gets involved and begins to help you, and you're kind of like struggling. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do. Or maybe it's in you're starting a business and you think, God, I felt like I was supposed to do this and here I am and I'm stuck and I don't know what to do. And so the Holy Spirit gets involved in this way. He searches our hearts and he knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with his will. So it's like God and the Holy Spirit get together and they go, let's just help this poor guy. Or let's help this woman. Or let's help this person who is in the midst of struggle, and we're going to help take them to the next level. Now, how many of you know that when you try to do something good in this world, you're going to get some resistance? There's a lot of crazy stuff out there. And if you and I are ever, ever going to do anything good, because that's really the primary purpose that God has in our life, to have a relationship with him and to always do good, bring good to the world, there's going to be some fights involved. So I think back on the 20 years that we have been here, and there's a couple of times, like twice they tried to close this school. And I'm like, what are we going to do? I mean, there's just nowhere to go in PB. I have searched these streets up and down. I thought about, well, we could go to a club, but that wasn't going to work. I mean, we just thought of all kinds of crazy ideas, but like they're going to close. So I remember standing up here, and there was all kinds of, there was city council people, and there was like news people in the back filming this, and there were teachers and everybody. And I remember standing up here with a microphone, passionately speaking on behalf of, can we please keep the school open? There's a good reason we should keep the school open. And that happened on two different occasions. And there was a bunch of people here at that church at that time. I think at that time it was South Coast. And we got on our knees. We fought on our knees too. We prayed hard. God, please, this school can't close down. You've got to work. This got to go out and spill out into the streets of PB, man. This community needs help. It needs God. And on two different occasions, when they were getting ready to close the school, they didn't. Because we fought. There was a principal that was here for 5 years. Most of the principals at the school have been pretty good. Last three have been awesome. The guy that's here today, he's just cheering us on. But we had one principal for 5 years fought us every step of the way. I mean, it was really, really difficult. But with God's help and with people that were in the fighting spirit. My wife, let me talk about fighting. Let me talk about my wife, okay? When I married Karen, man, I married the fighting Irish. How many of you married somebody Irish? I'm telling you, she is the fighting Irish. I found this out shortly after we got married. Not just because of her fighting with me, but we went to the beach one day. We took a youth group to the beach, and there was about four or five guys that came up to me, and they go, hey, we're going to throw Karen into the ocean. And I said, really? I said, you have no idea what you're in for. And they go, no, we're going to do it. Do we have your permission? I go, okay, do it at your own risk. So I watched this whole thing play out, and I'm telling you, about 5 minutes later, there was five guys, and they were all double over, holding themselves like this. And they came up to me and they said, she fights dirty. I go, that's right. I warned you. But she's got the fighting spirit. And every step of the way, a lot of times when I felt like giving up, my wife is going, no. And she just gets in the fighting mode. But it's a good fighting mode. It's about, we're going to do this thing. There have been times I just wanted to give up and she was over there just cheerleading me on. I wanted to get up, and usually it was like, no, we're going to fight through this thing. See, you need people of the Spirit around you who have the Holy Spirit to help you fight through some of your issues. Maybe I'm speaking to you right now, and you're going through something right now, and you feel like giving up. And you probably shouldn't do this. Whatever it is, don't do it by yourself. You need to get people in your life with the fighting spirit, like my wife, with the Holy Spirit in them too. Don't just get a fighter. Get somebody who fights with the Holy Spirit. And bring that person alongside of you because they will help you take it to the next step. They'll help you get through whatever God has called you to get through that thing that you need to get through. And then he builds his heavenly kingdom instead of our earthly kingdom. I want you to notice, going back to verse 26, well, before we go there, let me go back to this for a second. He builds his heavenly kingdom instead of our earthly kingdom. I'm going to take you back to 1997, which was really one of the most difficult years of my life. And in 1997, of course, this was the same year we started this church, but prior to that, 1997, I had just finished doing 4.5 years of pastoring a church, and things just didn't pan out like I hoped that they would. And I had a dream. I had a vision. I had a dream. Back in 1977, I helped plant a church over in Maui, Hawaii. Pretty cool, huh? And I worked with a church planter, and I knew at that point, I said, I want to plant churches. For the rest of my life, what I want to do is I want to plant churches. So in 1993, I came to this church. At that time, it was called Elam Chapel. And so I thought, here's what we're going to do. We're going to grow this church out big, and then when we get to a place we're going to do it, we're going to plant churches out of this church. Well, it just didn't happen. And in fact, things just never really went very well. And so at the end of 1997, I left that church. And it was just kind of a shattered dream. And I just remember thinking to myself, God, what went wrong? Like, isn't planting churches a great thing to do? And why did this not work out? And it's at this point where in verse 26, it says, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. So is that time when I'm praying out and like I have no words. I go back to this. Have you ever prayed and you just have no words? You have groans. uses the Bible language, is there's this groaning inside. And I remember at that point, okay, God, I'm out of words. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And it's during that time that the whole Pacific Beach thing, God brought it right to me. And I began to pray about it, and every time that I prayed about it, I felt it. Every time I prayed about it, something felt right. Even though I began to do all my research and all the demographics in PB, and everybody said, don't go to PB, and I know all that stuff. The more I prayed, I was like, no, this is the deal. Go there. And I got to tell you, I was kind of at a low ebb in my life. I was like, well, okay. And so we went. And it really was the work of the Holy Spirit just saying, go. Somehow it's going to be okay. Just go. And Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act and to fulfill his good purpose. And that's what would happen. So this is the craziest story ever. Like, have you ever noticed, like, you know, you have your plan and God has his, and sometimes it's not the same plan? How many of you experienced that in your life? Okay? So you already heard part of my plan, right? And so here's the way that God says, well, Bambachi, we're going to do this, but we're going to do it completely different than you ever thought. All right, what are we going to do, God? So I go to PB, and we plant this church together, and so the years are ticking off, and I'm like, okay, and I'd like to plant a church. And at some point, and during those years, the cycle of the church that I had been at just sort of fizzled out, and the church literally died. They came to our lead pastor, Mike Quinn, and this is actually just as we were starting to formulate New Break Church, and they said, would you like to have this church? Literally, just, would you like this church? And Mike said, yeah, thank you. We'll take it. And then what happens is that the generous people of New Break, just as we're formulating, we said, well, we've got to renovate this church. So over $1 million is invested to renovate this church. And then when the church is all renovated and ready, guess what happens? They call Pastor Steve and Karen in to start a new church in Ocean Beach. And at that point, I'm going, are you kidding? This is the way you're going to do it? I thought my plan was better, but okay. And so we go back, and for 2 years, Karen and I, just on a Saturday evening, so we were still pastoring here, and then we're over in Ocean Beach on a Saturday evening, and we invested ourselves in just getting that church up and going. And then finally we found the perfect guy in Carter Moss. You saw him on the screen. Carter comes in. And 3 years later, so that was 5 years ago, he's been there for 3 years now. They are killing it in OB. They're running over 400 people. Carter is literally like the mayor of OB. Seriously, I could have never pulled off what Carter is doing. But when I look at God's grand design, I'm like, I never would have thought of that. I never, ever would have done it that way. And so here's the thing. For some of you that are really like, well, here's the plan and we got to do it my way. Have you ever considered that his way might be better than your way? It could probably be a lot more creative too. And a lot more exciting. I got to tell you, this has been quite the roller coaster ride in my life. But when I look back at it and I look at what God is doing today, I just have to say, God, I never ever could have imagined that, but you did it. And you did it your way. And your way is always better than ours. It says in verses 29 and 30 of Romans 8, the God who has been with us from the beginning will not give up on us before we reach the end. He's not going to give up. Are you ready to give up? Are you ready to give up on something that maybe God called you to and you feel it and you're discouraged and you're tired? I just want to say to you, don't give up. You walk in here this morning and, you know, you're ready to celebrate or whatever, but you know deep down inside there's some stuff going on and you're ready to give up. He's going to see you through. You're talking to a guy who has been through some tough times and he's going to see you through. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, he's going to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So the question is, what's up for the next 20 years here? Don't think I'm going to be here in 20 years because I'll be 82, but the next 20 years. So I think God has some really, really good stuff, and I think at one point, you know, we're going to pass the baton off, and this church is just going to keep growing and getting stronger, and it's going to be amazing. But here's what came to me. A few weeks ago, I had the awesome privilege of being in Australia. And I was with a couple of friends from this church, and I'm in the back of an RV, because at some point they decided it wasn't good for me to drive in Australia on the wrong side of the road. Had a couple of near accidents, and they said, Steve, well, it's okay, we'll drive. So I'm in the back of the RV, and I have my Bible, and I have some books that I'm reading, and I thought, you know, this would be an awesome time to just really hear from God. Because it had been a long, long time since I'd had that kind of just freedom and space to just like, God, I want to hear from you. What's going on with our church and everything? And one of the things that I had just been kind of like, this is what Steve wants. I was like, God, we're going to get a building. We're going to get it. This is the year we're going to get a building. And as I was listening to God and trying to get clarity on that, the Lord spoke to me so clearly. I don't always get a real clear word from the Lord, but this was a clear word. And he said, Steve, quit worrying about the building, and here's what I want you to go for. And I waited for it, and he said, impact. He says, it was like a neon light right before me. Impact, impact, impact. And basically is when you have impact in PB, the building will come. And the reason I know it was from the Lord is because that's not the way I was thinking. I was thinking, well, you know, you get the building and they will come, right? That kind of thing. He's, no, you have impact. And so as I think about the next however many years, we're after impacting PB. You say, impact what? PB. I've seen more locals here than I've ever seen before. I see every Sunday now, I say, where are you from? PB. I'm like, just warms my heart. Because all these years ago, that's what it was all about. It was about coming to Pacific Beach. And it was about reaching the people that live here. And the people that, so many of them are just so far from God. So many are just out there and then all the craziness of their lives, and here we are. And we have a story to tell. And we have the Holy Spirit. And I hope, for those of you that are still part of this church, that you will join us on this journey and stay with us on this journey, because I think God's going to do great things. And for those of you that were so gracious to come and celebrate with us, thank you so much. Keep praying for us, because God has something special for Pacific Beach. He really does. He loves Pacific Beach. He really does. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness throughout all these years. Lord, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who comes to us when we're weak, who comes to us to partner with us, and then sometimes comes and does far and beyond anything that we could imagine. Sometimes just carries us. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here today who's feeling weak, who feels like they just can't go on, who feels like maybe they're frustrated and confused, just kind of at a low ebb, I pray in this moment, Lord, that you will help them to call upon your name and to know, Lord, you will send all the reinforcements, the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you yourself will get involved. Father God, that you love us and you want to help them. And Lord, I pray that next year and the year after that and the year after that, we're going to see more lives impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. More people come to you, people that are far out there, people that have lost their way. God, and this church is going to be right here in the hot spot of what God is doing in Pacific Beach. And we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.